We've all heard stories of someone that invested in Bitcoin in 2013, and they're a millionaire today. But that same investment along that path dropped 80% in value multiple times along the way. Today we're tackling the big question. Should you invest in Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies in your investment portfolio? So for the sake of time, let's dive right into it. Well, welcome back, Wealth Decisions listeners, new listeners, and current listeners. Today we're diving into one of the most polarizing topics in modern finance, and that's cryptocurrency. Now, love it or hate it, crypto really has forced its way into the mainstream financial conversations. But should it be in your portfolio? And that's what we're going to figure out today. But before we dive in, just remember that this podcast does provide educational information. This isn't personalized investment advice. Always consult with a financial professional before making any investment decisions. And if you could, follow or subscribe to the podcast so you get updated on future episodes. So let's start with the basics, understanding cryptocurrency. I often get asked quite a bit, can you explain Bitcoin to me, or Ethereum, or cryptocurrency in general? And I'm going to give you the best explanation that I can give you to help you really understand what Bitcoin is and what Ethereum is. These are the two main cryptocurrencies that a lot of other coins are based upon. Let's talk first about Bitcoin. Imagine Bitcoin to be like a digital gold coin. Think of Bitcoin like a gold coin that only exists on computers. Just like how you can create real gold, you have to mine it from the ground, obviously. You can't just make Bitcoin appear. Computers have to solve really hard math puzzles to mine new coins. So Bitcoin is like having a magical piggy bank that no one controls or owns, not even a president or a king, that keeps track of every coin that exists, that can never be broken into or stolen if you keep your key safe, and it only allows 21 million coins to ever exist, making them special and rare. Now let's talk just a little bit about Ethereum, because it's a little bit different than Bitcoin. Imagine Ethereum being like a digital Lego. It's definitely similar to Bitcoin, but it's more like a computer world where you can build almost anything with digital Lego blocks. These special blocks are called smart contracts. And they're kind of like robots that automatically do things when certain rules are met. I'll just give you an example. Imagine you made a deal with your friend. If it rains tomorrow, I'll give you my Pokebot card. My son would love this episode. Actually, he doesn't really like Pokebot cards anymore. He's more into Minecraft and video games. But with Ethereum, you could create a digital robot that would automatically check the weather and transfer the card, the Pokemon card, if it rains. No parents needed to make sure the promise is kept. So let's just talk just a little bit about, you know, how are they similar? Both use something called blockchain. And think of it like a special notebook that copies itself to thousands of computers around the world. You know, everyone can see what's written in the notebook, but no one can erase or change what's already there. This makes sure that no one can cheat or lie about their digital coins. That's what the blockchain basically is. The key differences are Bitcoin is more like digital money for potentially buying things. And Ethereum is like a digital computer that runs on apps and games. The true value of cryptocurrency is that it's digital, and it's a virtual currency secured by cryptography, making it nearly impossible to counterfeit. The most well-known cryptocurrency is Bitcoin. It was created in 2009 by an anonymous person or group using the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto. Seems kind of weird when you think about it that nobody really knows if it was and indeed a person or a group of people. But what's interesting about Bitcoin is, and one of its strengths is, it's not issued by governments. It's operated on decentralized networks based upon this blockchain technology. So there's no central authority that controls cryptocurrency, which is its greatest strength as well as its greatest weakness. I mentioned before, Bitcoin was created with a fixed supply of 21 million coins, with the last Bitcoin projected to be mined around the year 2140. That's a long ways away, but this scarcity is built into its code and is the one reason some investors view it as digital gold or a hedge against inflation. I don't know if I ever see Bitcoin being a store of value. It just fluctuates way too much. I originally bought some Bitcoin when it was $2,500 per coin. I bought about 2 Bitcoins at the time and watched that investment grow to roughly about 40,000. I ended up selling that Bitcoin because I wanted something physical to show for it. So I bought a hot tub and put out a patio in my backyard. And now I have the ability to enjoy that Bitcoin investment showing something of true value to me and creating meaningful experiences for my family. Now I look back at that and think about those 2 Bitcoins would be worth $200,000 today. So it's not really a store of value, but it can be a nice diversifier in your portfolio that maybe acts a little bit differently sometimes than stocks or bonds or other alternative assets. So let's just talk about the case for cryptocurrency. Why might someone consider buying or adding cryptocurrency to their portfolio? First, there's potential for significant returns. You know, obviously, if you got into Bitcoin early, you've seen a lot of growth. But it's really, really volatile. Bitcoin has been one of the best performing assets of the last decade. So sometimes you might think, well, have I missed the boat? There's a lot of people out there that think Bitcoin is going to $250,000 per coin or $1 million per coin. I don't know if it will, but based upon the fact that there's limited supply, it could potentially get there one day. Second, cryptocurrency offers portfolio diversification. You know, historically, crypto assets have had low correlation with stocks and bonds. But I don't know if that's always the case, but it is another asset to be considered in an asset allocation strategy. Third, we're seeing really a lot of institutional adoption. You know, companies like Tesla, Square, and MicroStrategy have added Bitcoin to their corporate treasuries. Yeah, they're using Bitcoin as a cash reserve. You know, payment giants like PayPal and Visa now support cryptocurrency. And in 2021, we saw the approval of Bitcoin ETFs, making it even easier for investors like you and I to get some exposure there. So you could certainly get a Coinbase account and buy some Bitcoin or Ethereum, or you can buy a Bitcoin or Ethereum ETF in your IRA, your Roth IRA, or in your taxable investment account. Fourth, cryptocurrencies offer accessibility and financial inclusion. You know, anyone with internet access can participate in cryptocurrency markets. There's no bank required, which is interesting because there's about 1.7 billion adults worldwide who remain unbanked. So this is a place for people to put their money and can be an investment for the future. And fifth, I've talked about this earlier in the episode, is blockchain technology. This is the foundation for every cryptocurrency and has a lot of promising applications beyond just finance, from supply chain management, voting systems, and the agricultural market. So investing in leading cryptocurrencies is partly a bet on this underlying technology. So now let's just talk about the case against cryptocurrency. What are the reasons someone might decide against cryptocurrency investment? First and foremost is volatility. Cryptocurrencies prices can swing wildly, sometimes 20 or 30% in a day. And the volatility can be really stomach-churning, even for experienced investors. Second, there's some regulatory uncertainty, which remains a significant concern. You know, some governments worldwide are still determining how to regulate cryptocurrency. Third, security risks are real. You know, blockchain technology itself is secure, but the exchanges and the wallets where cryptocurrency is stored can be vulnerable to hacking. And according to industry experts, billions of dollars worth of cryptocurrency has been stolen over the years. Fourth, environmental concerns are mounting, so particularly regarding Bitcoin mining energy consumption. There's a lot of energy that's needed to mine Bitcoin. And the Bitcoin network actually consumes more electricity annually than sub-countries, so it's a big, big deal. Fifth, cryptocurrencies currently have limited practical utility for really everyday transactions. Though this is changing, you still can't use Bitcoin to buy groceries, you know, in most stores. So where does this leave us? Should you own cryptocurrency or not? Here's my perspective. For many investors, a modest allocation to cryptocurrency might make some sense as part of a well-diversified portfolio. The problem with cryptocurrency, though, is there's no earnings, there's no dividends. It's basically supply and demand and fear and greed that drives it. So if you're retired, you can't really take an income from Bitcoin. It still might be an important piece of a retiree's portfolio, but I would suggest it more for clients that are in their 30s, 40s, or 50s that are trying to accumulate wealth. You know, the key word here is modest. You know, there's a lot of financial advisors who are open to crypto and often suggest limiting exposure to 2 to 5% of an overall portfolio. Think of cryptocurrency as a high-risk, potentially high-reward asset, similar to how you view maybe a growth stock or a small-cap stock or an emerging market company. And really, another important consideration is your time horizon. You know, cryptocurrency is really a long-term investment, although a lot of people trade it on a daily basis, but it's very volatile, and you really need to have a long-term view and be a holder of Bitcoin or Ethereum long-term. So as we wrap up today's episode, I want to just outline some actionable strategies if you're considering adding cryptocurrency to your portfolio. The first thing to do would be to start small. I talk about this all the time, but only invest what you can afford to lose with a small investment. Number two, dollar cost average instead of trying to time the market. You can dollar cost average into Bitcoin or a Bitcoin ETF, and just by putting a set amount each month, regardless of what the price is. And you'll take advantage of the Bitcoin or Ethereum's volatility. Number three, diversify within the crypto space. If you've never invested in cryptocurrency, I would suggest first focusing on just Bitcoin as your predominant exposure, and then Ethereum as your second exposure. There's a lot of small coins. If you really want to go into it and do all the research and keep up on the trends, you certainly could look at some of the other alternative coins. But just avoid some of those new issues and some of the ones that are creating hype. Number four, secure your investments with reputable exchanges. If you're going to buy Bitcoin or Ethereum direct, make sure you're buying that particular cryptocurrency with someone like Coinbase, a big reputable app that you can use that's secure. And number five, to stay informed about regulatory developments. And number six, consult a financial advisor who understands both traditional finance and cryptocurrency. Not all financial advisors really understand cryptocurrency. I have followed crypto for a long time. I keep up on it, and I think it does belong in a small amount in a diversified portfolio. If you found this information valuable, please subscribe and follow my channel and share it with a friend who you think might benefit. Next week, we're going to be wrapping up this season of the Wealth Decisions podcast. This whole season, we talked about asset allocation and posed the question, do you own blank in your portfolio? We talked about developed markets. We talked about emerging markets. We talked about small cap investing, mid cap investing, value investing. We talked about fixed income and its role in a diversified portfolio when you're approaching retirement. We talked about gold last week, and today we dug into cryptocurrency. Next week, we'll tie it all together and talk about what types of allocations you should have in all these different asset classes, depending on your age, risk tolerance, and timeline. So that's it for today's episode. Should you own Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies in your investment portfolio? Would love if you ordered my new book, Momentous Decisions, 7 Steps to Better Health, More Wealth, and a Richer Life. In the book, you're going to learn how to first adopt a health conscious mindset. You're going to learn how to avoid some of the common mistakes when trying to create permanent change in your life, health, and wealth habits. You're going to learn how to overcome some of your money and health blocks that are preventing you from reaching your health or financial goals. You're going to learn how to create more meaning in your life. And you're also going to be able to build a stronger identity and belief in yourself. Make change easy at first so that you don't resist making positive, lasting change. You're also going to learn how to set up your environment to give you the best chance to succeed. But probably one of the most important things in the book is identifying and finding your why behind your why. That is what will keep you inspired long term. So if you'd like to order a copy of my book, it's coming out in August. You can go to momentouswealthadvisors.com/book, and you can also read about what some other self-development authors and life coaches and people in the industry are saying about the book. And if you'd like to schedule a discovery call with me, there'll be a link in the description of this podcast. And during a discovery call, I'll take some time to get to know you, find out what's truly important to you, gather some information to see how I might be able to help you reach your long-term financial goals, as well as some of your life goals. So thanks for listening. Please share this podcast with a friend. Like, follow it, share it on social media. My goal with the Wealth Decisions podcast is to reach over 100,000 people in the Twin Cities and beyond so that people can live a richer life. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.